beautiful people. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the program. We rock with you 10 to 2 and appreciate y'all being here with us. Matt Smith is in the building. He's sitting in for one Brandon Stokely this afternoon. Matt, good morning to you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. You know, it was a nice night last night.
Yeah, what'd you
do? No sports. Just got to kind of unplug a little bit, watch some TV shows, caught up a little bit, got some sleep. It was great.
Sleep is great. Yeah, it was kind of chill. Went and had some dinner with the fam and then, get back. Watch a little bit of ESPN Hoops and watch those knuckleheads try to do a halftime show, which might have been the worst thing in the history of television.
I can't stand their broadcast crew.
It was college. If I were to call it a broadcast of a college campus environment atmosphere, it would be disrespectful to college campuses and their broadcast skills. So, yeah, it was real bad last night. But fun to have a little bit of a chill night because it is on tonight, Matt Smith. We got the triple threat of Colorado sports. The Avs and the Nuggets are going to both wrap up road trips. And plus, the tournament sort of starts tonight with the first four, the play-ins, whatever you want to identify as. In those first four games, and the Rams will take the stage. 7:10 jump. It's on True TV, but they're going to take on Virginia. It's going to be a heck of a game. It goes Avs 6, Nuggets 7, Rammies 7:10. So you're going to have to find a way
multiple
to consume
screens
all,
here.
But hopefully you're set up for that situation. I'm fired up for tonight, Matt.
Yeah, it's going to be a good night. Look, you got Avs and Blues. It's always fun to play Jordan Binnington. And then,
Seven on that fool.
You know, it's interesting. You know, with this CSU game, man, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but Virginia did not expect to make the tournament.
Mm-mm.
Did you see the video of their bracket reveal where the team got together? They were fired up.
Really?
Like, oh, my gosh. They were stunned that they made it. And what's interesting is now you got a team who's, you know, not just happy to be there, but fired up to have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're looking at CSU, who's maybe a little disappointed. They've got to play an extra game, and they got into the play-in game because they thought they'd be seated higher, which we know they would because they were scrambling up in Fort Collins. They had to leave at 10 a.m. yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'll be curious to see how it goes down tonight. I don't have a good feeling, if I'm being honest.
Really?
Is
that because you're wearing a bus hoodie?
No, it's not because of that. It's because I think Tony Bennett's defense has something for CSU tonight, unfortunately.
It's going to be ugly.
We'll see.
Yeah, a couple teams stuck in the mud, but that's the way Bennett and those boys like to do it. We'll preview Nugs, Avs, as the show rolls on as well. You said something yesterday, though, Matt.
Mm.
And we said, you know what? We got to do a little bit of homework on that.
But good.
Let's do it. I did the homework.
Right on.
You talked about the fifth quarterback selected. And when you said it, I was like, yeah, that doesn't sound great. You know, I hadn't really considered it. Because
do we need to bring the song back
in the
first segment? Yeah.
For a quarterback. So I went back and I did the last 10 years of the NFL draft. And I found out who the fifth quarterback selected was in the last 10 years.
Mm.
And it's not pretty, my man.
Mm.
It is not pretty at all. It's basically exactly what you thought it was going to be and what Matt Smith expected. So we'll roll through some of these real quick. And it might change how Broncos country feels about Bo Nix. We'd love to hear from you. 303-713-1043. 2023, Hendon Hooker out of Tennessee, third round pick.
Right. Tore his knee up and then got drafted to Detroit.
Detroit,
developmental prospect and has not seen the field.
Nope. Has not seen the field. 2022 was somebody that saw the field. Fourth round pick by the Patriots, Bailey Zappe out of Western Kentucky. Fifth quarterback's taken off the board. Still, nothing really to get excited about if you're Broncos country, right? Bailey Zappe not doing much for you?
We're getting right into the Bo Nix territory, by the way. This is the Bo Nix weeds that we're digging through right here.
2021, how about these Patriots just searching? The 15th overall pick in this case was the fifth quarterback selected. You remember Mac Jones rolling down that hallway all fired up to go bro hug Roger Goodell? That's who it was, Matt. It was Mac Jones with the 15th overall pick. That was QB number 5.
Well, and I brought this up yesterday. That's my comp for Bo Nix right there is Mac Jones. Both 6'2", 6'3", 217, 220 coming out of college. Both running about 4.7, 4.8. Both threw for like 4,500 yards and around 42 touchdowns on average. Both threw about 3 picks and to the decimal point had the same completion percentage in college. So, again, this is the Bo Nix territory.
And Mac Jones is now, what was he traded for?
Sixth.
And to go back up Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. So that's what we're looking at again. Okay, actually, maybe there's two on this list that I like because I had forgot this one. 2020, the fifth quarterback selected out of Alabama was Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And obviously goes to Philly. And that was, you know, I don't know if that Philly's looking at it as a face of a franchise or taking a flyer on a guy that can come in and help and be developed into a face of a franchise, but he's obviously been good. Talked about in MVP conversations and helped the Eagles punch their ticket to a Super Bowl a year ago. So that's one so far that we like. I don't know how you feel about Jalen Hurts long-term.
No, I think
he's
that's
really good, though.
But that's a perfect example of taking a quarterback outside of the first round and actually finding gold. That is definitely on the other side. That's a dash on the left side of the win-loss chart here for this experiment.
2019, Will Grier, third round out of West Virginia. Don't do much there, right, for Will. 2018, now this is the one. This is the one that you can use as an example. It's Lamar Jackson, selected by the Ravens out of Louisville, but they jumped back up into the first round. Remember, they were the 32nd overall pick to get Lamar Jackson.
And that's at the end of the first round. It's not QB5 at 12.
Yes.
Okay, so it is different because I was looking through the text line yesterday as we talked about that. A lot of people brought up Lamar's name. And absolutely. And look, Josh, this isn't a hard and fast rule. This isn't going to be the same over every quarterback class because each different quarterback class has a different number of prospects and certainly different caliber prospects. But the whole point of this experiment was, is QB5 or the fifth best quarterback in this class the proper value at 12? Mm-hmm. Or can you move down and possibly find more value in other places?
Yeah. We got a text. You forgot to mention Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, You got to wait for it to come.
Yeah. All right, real quick, because I do think there's one other here that we can make an argument for. How about in 2017, though? You know, the fifth round or the fifth quarterback selected in 2017, in the third round, he's actually the Broncos quarterback coach right now. It's Davis Webb.
Davis Webb was so, almost a buff.
That clearly did not work. Was almost a buff?
Before he went to Cal.
I think I remember this story.
He took a visit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Ask Phil about that a little bit later.
Oh, yeah. He's mad.
Credit Davis Webb for, you know, creating a monster with Sefo Lufau at that senior year, so.
The other names, Jacoby Brissett, that's 2016. He's all right, right? He's been fine, but not a franchise quarterback by any means. Bryce Petty was 2015. Jimmy Garoppolo was that in 2014. That's a second-round pick, and I know Jimmy's got his issues right now, but that dude did play in a Super Bowl.
Look, I'm just looking up and down this list, and then you might as well say the last name.
Ryan Nassib,
yeah,
out of Syracuse. I don't even know who
is.
Is it
Nassib?
Who knows? I take zero time to learn his name. He gets no of my time. Outside of writing his name on his rundown, that's all he gets.
This doesn't change how I feel about Bo Nix because I didn't feel great about Bo Nix in the first place. So for me, this is more or less along the lines of what I was thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's keep this conversation going because there's 10 examples.
Does it change the way you feel about Bo Nix?
And like two and a half of them are okay. And it does change how I feel about Bo Nix. I'll tell you why next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
It's Matt Smith sitting in for Stoke today. We're talking about quarterbacks. Fifth quarterback selected, because that's what it looks like the Broncos are going to land with Bo Nix. He'll be the fifth quarterback off the board. I think a few people are, maybe we did a bad job explaining it, or I did, or people aren't understanding.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. I'm going to blame the texters. We're comparing the fifth quarterback. So if the fifth quarterback got selected at 15 like Mac Jones, or in the fourth round like Bryce Petty, they're still the fifth quarterback selected off of the board. That's the exercise we're doing here. So people are saying, oh, you can't compare a second rounder versus a top 15 quarterback.
They're not wrong.
Well, when they're the fifth quarterback off the board, that's the comparison we're making. That's why we're doing this exercise. So
we're talking about the fact, Josh, that right now in a lot of mock drafts, you're seeing quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4 off the board. Uh-huh. And it typically does not happen that way. And if that happens, I mean, you're already more than halfway or like, you know, maybe just about halfway into the draft class.
Right.
At that stage. So you have to understand that's the 12th overall pick. What type of value can you actually acquire with that pick? Be it moving back. By the way, and I don't know if you saw this, but Mike Clay, who covers the NFL, I sent this to our group chat, sent out this chart where he essentially took an early run at grading rosters by position groups.
And he goes 1 through 5 is his scale?
Basically.
Okay.
He goes 1 through 5 is his scale, but he goes through everything. And the Broncos, per his metrics, have, and he does this every year, by the way. He rates position groups over the summer once they get through the draft and we get through all of free agency and all trades and all that. He'll go through and he'll rate it, because we remember talking about it last summer that Nick Benito and Jonathan Cooper and that Broncos pass rushing group got a really bad grade, and it was in his metric. Well, he graded the Broncos roster out 30th. He gives the offensive line a good metric. He's got them about 10th, but everything else is bargain, you know, is just down in the basement. So, yeah, this is why I say, look, there's just not a ton of talent here. And if you're talking about drafting the fifth quarterback off the board at pick number 12, you are, in fact, sacrificing value at a different position.
100%.
On basically hoping that Bo Nix ends up panning out. And I just don't think that's a good strategy ever, first of all. But second of all, especially when you're trying to rebuild a team and you're starting from square one, because you could start anywhere.
Yeah. And look, I will say it changed my mind on Bo Nix because of these names. And look, going through this and doing the exercise of finding who the fifth quarterback was, there were some garbage names that I had to skim through to get through this list. So it changed my maybe expectations of what Bo would be in year one. I think that's where I was, Matt. I looked at it as, all right, I have a lot of questions about Bo Nix. I certainly have a lot of questions about him being a first-round pick of the Denver Broncos. But because, going back to the word of what we are, desperate, you're going to sacrifice the amount of unknown because he plays quarterback over the, you know, littler amount of unknown of edge rusher or that cornerback out of Alabama that we've seen linked to them a couple of times. There's less unknown, but there's less reward to that as well.
Or Brock Bowers.
Again, yeah. Less unknown, more possible reward. But if you don't have the quarterback, Brock Bowers kind of falls by the wayside. So I'm turned off is about, maybe not even turned off. I think I've tempered expectations if Bo Nix becomes the player. Because I looked at it as, even yesterday, as, all right, Bo Nix comes. He's played 914 college games.
Right.
Sean Payton is
915.
Yeah. I left one off, yeah. Right, that bowl game. Mm-hmm. You know, Sean Payton is a quarterback guru and an offensive expert. Just ask him. My expectations were, all right, there'll be some bumps and bruises along the way, but you can expedite that process a little bit because of experience and who Sean Payton claims to be. Now doing this, I have much more of a concern that process cannot be expedited, and it will
can be what?
Expedited?
Yeah, you caught it. I was gonna let you slide on the first one, and then you doubled expedited. Yeah.
And does that look like 2 years, 3 years?
Yeah.
Never works, because that's also on the table as well.
I just think they're in a rebuilding process here, and they have to do it right. And the smart football decision based upon the talent on your roster, to me, it stares you in the face. It's maybe not an easy one, but again, we're going to need to come up with another analogy so I don't have to keep going back to Andy Dufresne, because I feel like that's where we're at.
I do like that analogy.
I know, it works. That's why I feel like I keep going back to it. You got to get through. Like, you're never getting out if you don't get through that little tunnel, Josh. Mm-hmm. So, look, it's the dead cap. There's no way around it this year. And you don't have a lot of assets, nor do I think it's a wise decision to sacrifice any future assets on a lottery ticket at 12. You can ascertain much more value in multiple different ways there, and I think go about it smarter. Now, who knows if Bo Nix falls even more? I mean, we're hearing mock drafts today. Was it Mel Kiper, Kiss? I think it was Mel Kiper who had Bo falling out of the first round entirely.
It wasn't Kiper, because Kiper does have his latest, at least, has the Broncos picking him at 12.
Oh, it's Jeremiah. Jeremiah has Bo Nix falling out and Michael Penix going 13 to the Raiders. So if that's the case, I mean, now it's a completely different discussion. It's about Michael Penix, and do you have confidence in him? Which, what a late rise coming out of the combine, because his stock had fallen. And his medicals came back really nice, at least from all accounts. I didn't look over the MRIs or the X-rays myself. But he also threw the best out of all the quarterbacks. That was the report at the combine. So, look, we're not at the draft yet. We've got, about a month and a week until we get there. So I can only imagine that these guys are going to flip-flop two or three more times.
Of course they will. And Kevin Kisner, to his credit, gave... he went a deep dive into this. He found that Dan Marino back in 83 was you said fifth, right?
Yeah.
He was the fifth quarterback selected. So there's your exception to every rule. Dan Marino was the face of a franchise. And you guys remember all those Super Bowls Dan won, right? Whew.
All right. Ride. I would just shots it. Little strays with Dan Marino here. That was also the year, and we found this out last week, that set the record for most quarterbacks drafted in the first round with six.
Six, yep.
With six. So as we're talking about this, realize that we really haven't in NFL history seen a quarterback draft class that's at least that quote-unquote deep.
Yeah.
In the first round, so maybe it's actually not that deep, and maybe it's just the perception of the position. That's what the point that I've been illustrating with this entire thing.
And that's exactly right. There's a quarterback draft board, and then there's everybody else. And that quarterback draft board carries so much more weight than everybody else.
I think the right decision is staring them in the face. This is an easy call to make. If in my opinion, you're reaching on Nick Serpedix at that position. Sure. So you move back and you address it there.
Did you think they were going to reach at McCarthy at 12?
I personally do. I'm not a JJ guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I thought that too. And then the world is going, oh, no. They'd be lucky to get JJ McCarthy.
We'll see what happens. I've never seen it with him in college.
Okay. 303-713-1043. Let us know how you're feeling. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. Watch the show over on Twitch, and you can comment over there as well. See a few of you already hanging out on Twitch. I got to ask you something because the Nuggets play the Timberwolves tonight. Do you see that Anthony Edwards? I'll do quotes around dunk for Drew. Did you see that thing?
Yeah, it's like the guy wears moon boots.
Yeah.
The way he jumps. Mm-hmm. It's pretty ridiculous.
It was an awesome dunk. Drew doesn't think it's a dunk. What do you think?
When you throw the ball in from above the rim.
It's a very hard layup.
Look, I'm not one to judge because I've never seen what the basketball rim looks like from that angle. So maybe it is a dunk. I couldn't tell you. I've never been up that high unless I used a ladder. So I'll say, look, if you get up that high and you're that close and you throw it in, I mean, it's a foul, so it would have been a dunk.
Yeah.
I still think it's a poster one way or another, but I don't know if you could say it's a poster dunk or it's just a poster. We kind of go back to the conversation of Dwight Howard wearing the Superman cape and throwing it in at the dunk contest.
That's right.
Did you think that counted?
I mean, he had a cape on. That made it cooler.
Okay, so in the moment, it's a dunk, but upon review, that's when we start to break it
down.
That's
fair.
So let's go back to in the moment. So it's probably a dunk.
Yes.
And again, like I say, neither one of you or I have seen what the rim looks like from that height.
Well, speak for yourself.
Look, pal, you're not pulling the wool over anybody's eyes here. Who do you think you're fooling, okay? You've never been up that high.
When they lower the rim to 9 foot,
yes.
I can yam.
I put the rim at 8 feet before, and I've dunked the rim at 8 feet before. But that's my point, Josh.
Yeah.
It was a hell of an athletic play.
It was.
I look forward to beating them tonight.
That's exactly right, because they were on the back-to-back. I have a lot of sports hate in my heart for Minnesota and the Timberwolves, so it's tough.
Why.
It's tough for me to be. Didn't Anthony Edwards go to Kentucky?
Georgia,
okay. That he gets a little bit of a pass then, but it's hard for me to root for anything Minnesota, but that dunk, it was pretty nice.
He had one that he did not put down over Anthony Davis about a week and a half ago that might have made Anthony Davis have to go to the retirement home early. The fact that he didn't put it down might have saved Anthony Davis's career.
All right, well, I'm sure Anthony Davis fell down in the moment, in the process.
He can still catch this work from, the Joker.
That's right, so. That's right. All right. It's bracket season, right? The play-ins, the first four, it starts tonight. Well, we put together our own little bracket of Denver sports moment. Our opening round, it's the Broncos 97-98 region. Next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
All right, Matt. It's Matt Smith hanging out today for Stoke. And it's bracket time, right? Everybody's filling out their brackets. In fact, you should be filling yours out at denversports.com/hoops because you got a chance at 5K if you got the best bracket. All thanks to our friends at Sport Clips. It's the 5K Bracket Challenge. You have to be completely filled out on your bracket by March 21st at the tip of game number one, but you can win 5K plus a whole lot of bragging rights. We're all going to fill ours out. You beat us. You beat everybody. You're walking home with 5K. I started my bracket last night, but I want to see how some of these play-ins go. Before I officially keep it rolling. Have you started yours?
No. I don't crack the seal until Wednesday night.
Okay, like that. Respect. So we were thinking about it. A lot going on last night locally, so we put together 32 Denver sports moments and then seeded them. And what we're going to do right now, Matt, is go through the first round in the Broncos 97-98 bracket. They are also a one seed. Here's how I seeded everybody. You won a championship, you're a one seed. Fair?
Okay.
And
I'm following so far.
The Nuggets have a championship.
We'll see when you lose me.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I did make these.
So if you disagree, text us 303-713-1043 or tell us how you feel.
Okay.
All right. 1-8 in the Broncos 97-98 region. Well, one is the Broncos 97-98 team. They were unbelievable throughout the regular season, rolled throughout the postseason, and handled business in the Super Bowl thanks to the Falcons beating.
And what is the what are we judging this based upon here?
What's more important to you?
Okay, what's more important?
So right now, like a 1-8 matchup is that the Broncos won the Super Bowl in 97-98 or the 8 seed of the Nuggets hiring Michael Malone.
The Broncos in 97-98,
we can definitely agree upon
that. Sorry, Michael Malone.
Yeah, Mike's great.
Go back to Brooklyn.
But this Well, you don't have to go back to Brooklyn, you just don't win this matchup.
Oh, sorry.
You took it too far, man.
I wonder how this is without being able to see the bracket. We'll see.
Okay. 4-5 matchup.
Mm-hmm.
The drafting of Carmelo Anthony, which was big.
Which is a what seed?
5.
Okay.
Or Joe Sakic winning a heart.
Probably the drafting of Melo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going the other way.
Okay.
I'm going Sakic heart.
I'd now, probably the say drafting of Melo.
Why?
Because it really revived the Nuggets franchise at the time.
It made them relevant again.
Uh-huh.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, a player coming and a guy being the best team or the best player in a league. That
what raised the standard around here? Sakic winning the heart didn't raise the standard. That was just a result of a great season. I think drafting Carmelo Anthony. See, you saying what's more important. I don't know if is it what's more important or what was more impactful.
I mean, it's how you interpret it.
All right, well, then I would say still drafting Melo. Sakic did a bunch of other things
okay.
that I think were more impactful than that.
So now we have a tie. Kevin Kistner, insert chicken fingers. You are the tiebreaker. Who moves on, Kevin? The drafting of Carmelo Anthony or Joe Sakic being the league's MVP and winning the Hart Trophy?
I'm going to go Carmelo.
Oh!
Because like Matt said, it was more impactful. I remember that first game, they came down from the crowd onto the court. Like, I never seen Nuggets Nation so excited over a player like that, so I had to take that one.
Melo came down, you're saying? Or
yeah, like the whole starting five came down.
Oh, that's pretty dope. That's a good memory.
I tried looking it up the other day. Can't find it now.
Okay. Drew, what would you say?
I would also go with drafting Melo.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the second year was great, but
you too,
you're talking
guys.
About a whole franchise-altering decision.
Okay. Melo has moved on.
Yeah.
Matt Smith, the winner there. A 3-6 matchup.
We're all winners, Josh.
Another draft. Well, yeah, that's right. This is the good thing about this. We can argue and what wins, but these 32 moments are beautiful moments that
we all
get to
remember.
I'll
find one on here to get really mad at you about.
Oh,
okay?
Please do. Please do. How about this matchup, 3-6? Six is drafting Kale McCarr. That's pretty important, pretty impactful. But the three, this is going to be a tough out of this three. Pat Bowlen buying the Broncos.
It's got to be Pat Bowlen buying the Broncos. And I love you, Kale.
That's right.
And I think that's important. They probably don't have they definitely don't get a cup without you.
No.
So I it's a tough one to pass up on, but come on, that's Pat Bowlen buying the Broncos.
And that, you want to talk about standards, that's where it all started right there with old Pat B, Mr. Bowlen up there. All right, so unanimous, we're going with Bowlen.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. 2-7. A 2 is CU winning a national championship. That was pretty important and impactful. In 7, I combined everything. The Pio's success, what Mines has done recently, and a Rapids MLS Cup back in 2010.
See, that's tough because that's a lot of Division I hockey championships right there.
But we're talking hockey, football.
I know.
Hockey, football. The Buffs as who they were. Like, that's prime Buffs. I can't believe you're even debating this.
It's a lot of titles. I mean, how many titles has DU won? You have
handfuls.
Looped. Hold on. You have looped. This is awful. You have looped into one cat. This whole exercise. You have looped into one category the Pioneers' entire history of accomplishments, Colorado School of Mines' entire history of accomplishments, and any accomplishment in the Colorado Rapids history compared to just Colorado winning the national title and splitting the national title in 1990.
The Rapids have one accomplishment, and it was 14 years ago.
Okay.
Mines has recent success in the last 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Struggles prior. And the Pios are your best argument. They're always good.
No, wait. Are we just talking Pios hockey, or are we throwing lacrosse in there
everything.
As well?
He's saying everything. He's literally written on the bracket here, Pios / Mines / Rapids. To me, this means anything that's ever been accomplished in that school's history. So I've got to go with Pios / Mines / Rapids.
It's Division I hockey. This is football we're talking about.
It's not just Division I hockey. It is whatever has happened in this entire school's
Division
history.
Division I lacrosse as well.
Yes.
I'm just.
And all their academic achievements.
Oh, get out of here.
I'm just saying, you need to be more specific then. Expand your bracket.
All my buddies want to talk to me about
seven upsets too, Josh.
Academics.
I have spoken.
It's CU by a mile. Kevin, Drew?
I got to go CU by a mile too.
Yeah, it's a national championship.
No one knows how many lacrosse championships or hockey championships we won at DU.
No.
Other than Drew and Matt over here.
I was going to say, that's not true, because DU's won 9 hockey championships, and they've won 1 lacrosse championship. So,
10.
Yeah, I'm with Matt on this one. I think it's the Pios rap
minority.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Oh, wow. Now we're tied 2-2. So the texters are going to decide this. Let's go.
The texters
are going
to have no idea what we're talking about. On to the next. On to the next.
I can't believe you went against CU. I thought this was in the bag for you.
No.
Nobody can.
This is the beauty of the tournament. Cares. It's any given Sunday.
But lacrosse isn't that important.
You're talking about 10 national championships. I'm looking at the value. I'm looking at the value that's on the page, Josh.
Now, also, don't forget, the CU...
I'm playing by your rules, Josh!
And the CU one was a split national championship, because there are some that will make that argument as well, that it was split.
Which down was that?
Josh, our CU guys are bashing CU.
I know, you guys both love the Buffaloes, and you're just going against them because of your hockey love.
No, it's because of your...
And your lacrosse love, I forgot.
Messed up seating here.
Yeah, and academics, as Matt mentioned.
All right, next.
Because everyone goes to college for academics.
No, super you, next.
All right, well, we got to figure out who's winning. So far, it's the Buffs on the RamosLaw.com text line.
Okay, good. Good for the RamosLaw.com text line.
Is that what we're rolling with?
Sure.
Okay. So those are our winners.
Consensus wins, right?
As it always does. The Broncos have advanced. Now the Broncos are going to take on Mello. Mm-hmm. That'll be a tomorrow matchup. Pat Bowen buying the Broncos will take on CU.
Are you
going to
post this anywhere so people can reference this?
Do you want me to?
I mean, do you recognize, like, it'd probably be hard to keep track of all this in your head.
Well, listen better.
Okay.
Pretty easy.
Get out your notebook in your car.
Yeah.
Write down the matchups. What is wrong with you?
I also would say I'm a little self-conscious. How does yours look with the print? Let me see yours.
You can redo it. You can redo it legibly or have somebody out here in the office do it for you.
Because I'm a bad...
That's fine.
I'm left-handed, but I was taught to write with my right.
Don't worry. We all know, you know. Okay. You know.
Okay.
Look, it doesn't have... Not everything is your strong suit.
I would guess none of us here have good handwriting.
You have to understand, in life, one of your greatest strengths has to be identifying your own weaknesses.
Oh, I can do that.
Yeah, well...
You want me to start listing those?
We can do that bracket next.
We'll get back to it. We'll get to another round coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. But I do want to go back to the night that is on deck for the Nuggets.
You do have to post this.
The Rams. I'll
I just
do
want to
it.
Clarify. Do you do this has to be posted.
I'm just going
to
post it as my crappy handwriting, and you guys can try to get through it one way or the other.
Sure.
Because I'm definitely, here's what I'm not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Redo all of this.
This is where we miss interns.
Yes.
We haven't had interns here for a very long time, but this is the exact situation which they'd come in handy.
And somebody with good handwriting.
Exactly.
Please. All right. So, yeah, we'll post it at Josh Woodover on Twitter. What are you at? Real Matt Smith with one
sure.
T?
Sure.
Yeah,
you'll find me.
You'll find him right there. I'll post it, and we'll get back to it. But how are we feeling about the Avs? Facing one of the bad guys in the NHL tonight in Jordan Binnington. We'll talk about the big night of Denver sports next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. The Bomb.
All right, it is 10:45 on a Tuesday, and it's a big, big day for Denver sports fans as we'll get three of the teams in action tonight. Maybe a chance to punch their official ticket to the big dance as the Colorado State Rams will take on Virginia. I want to start right there because it's the biggest game tonight. They lose, and their season is over. Obviously not the case for the Colorado Avalanche and the Denver Nuggets. Before we jump into the game and kind of how we feel about it, Matt, I have a question, a simple question for you. Rams lose tonight, and the entire season is a huge disappointment, right? Is a huge letdown.
Oh, God, no.
No?
No.
How could it not be?
Because they had a really good year. I mean, yes, okay, they finished the back half, but I think that's a really dangerous way to look at it. because you diminish the accomplishments of the entire season. So why even play the regular season? Just play the tournament. I think it's dangerous to look at it like that. However, I can understand you're disappointed they didn't advance, but I wouldn't call it a I mean, maybe you could. I think that's a little harsh, though, and it kind of puts to the side some of the great work that they did, like beating CU, beating Creighton. I mean, they had a heck of a non-conference. And actually, I was listening to Tad Boyle's media availability yesterday before they got on the bus and went to Dayton, and he was talking about how, you know, how he felt about the seeding for both schools. And he said, look, I mean, you're not the same team that you are in November and December. And he was kind of using that as a reason why maybe some seeds were a little higher than others. But he essentially said the exact same thing that you and I did yesterday. These two teams kind of passed like ships in a night.
Okay.
CSU got in based upon what they did in November and December. And CU got in based upon what they did in February and March. So, look, this is a huge one for Colorado State tonight. It really is, because I don't know when they get back to this point, if I'm just being quite honest with you. So, yeah, I think you could say for a lot of people it'll be a disappointment. I don't want to diminish any of their accomplishments, because they did have a great year.
Well, I mean, they did have a great year, but that's why this is so important to win tonight, because all of those things, it just falls by the wayside if you can't win this game and get into the real dance. And then, all right, maybe you're playing with house money at that point, but we're talking about a team that was 13th in the country. Remember, we talked about it with Zach and Filler in Crosstalk of Doug Gottlieb calling them a top team in the nation early on in the season. Like, they were supposed to be here, and now they're just squeaking in. It's a huge disappointment to
okay.
me if they lose. And it's you've wasted Isaiah Stevens. You've wasted the year that he had. You wasted the great coaching year that Nico Medved has done. This was my problem when they had the conversation after the regular season about retiring Isaiah Stevens' number.
But there's been plenty of great basketball players that haven't made deep tournament runs.
I agree.
So I think it's a little unfair to go that far. But I also respect where you're coming from, because Colorado State starts 5 seniors, okay? Those guys are gone. You're talking about a new team next mm-hmm. year and maybe even a new head coach. I don't know. I know he signed the extension, but does it really make sense to stay if everybody else is going to go and you got a big offer on the table? You rolled the dice last year. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. So I don't know if that's the smart move for Nico. I want him to stay. But for him personally, I don't really see a path for them to get back to this yeah. point so readily, you know, so quick, unless they end up expanding the NCAA tournament, which I've heard, you know, a lot of talk of. And it sounds like, per NCAA President Charlie Baker, they're seriously considering it.
Yeah, I don't know that I agree with that. It's
well, they're whether or not, and I don't either,
yeah.
but it sounds right. like it's in motion.
Well, more revenue. That it creates more revenue, and then that's obviously the end game, because that's what sports is about, creating a dollar more than crowning a champion.
So, like you're saying, if CSU loses to Virginia tonight, they ought to be embarrassed and ashamed, and their family should renounce them.
Kind of, yeah. That's a little bit what I'm saying. look,
it's harsh.
And I can sit here and say I love what they did throughout the regular season.
The Mountain West was a good conference. We got where you're coming from, Josh.
But all that just seems like
do or die.
All for naught.
I understand.
If you can't beat Virginia in the play-in.
Okay.
How do you feel about it, Rams fans, Hoops fans? Let us know. 303-713-1043. Another question for you as far as tonight. Drew just asked a good one. Bigger rivalry, Blues-Avs, Timberwolves-Nuggets. Because we have, again, sports hate. It's okay yeah. to have some sports hate. But I think this city and these fans here in this city have plenty for both.
It's Blues-Avs, but Timberwolves and Nuggets is no small deal either. Timberwolves and Nuggets matters. I mean, we remember what happened. What was it, the end of the 2017 season? Or is that too far? What was game 82 when they played for the playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
Was it 2017 or 2019?
17?
I can't remember.
Because then they kind of went different directions after
they all blend together. They all anything before 2020, honestly. I mean, who even remembers? That's ancient history. The point is, I think Blues-Avs, I mean, you've had more playoff matchups, and certainly it's been there's been a lot of bad blood between those two teams and the cities. However, the Blues aren't what the Timberwolves are right now. The Blues are not a playoff team. They're fighting to maybe, if somebody falls off, get a wild card spot. So In that regard, I would say Nuggets-Timberwolves is a bigger game.
Okay. I look at it, especially you say the word rivalry and you think that hate, the sports hate.
I hate the Blues. So for me, I legitimately hate the Blues.
I also.
My whole life.
Yeah.
Chicago or Colorado. Can't stand the Blues.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good. We can unite on that then.
Of course.
Some sports hate. It's just tough. Like in hockey, you know, you can punch someone in the face. So it's sure. like, all right, that feels like a bit more of a rivalry because if I get mad, I can punch you in the face. Now you can do that in basketball, but you're going to have to, you know, leave and write a check and all that good stuff.
Isn't it more of a rivalry when you can't do that because the tension just builds and builds and builds?
No. See, because
you fight, you get it over with. Like, Gabe Landeskog can cave in Braden Schenn's face as he did a few years ago.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
And then it's like, yeah, we own you. We're your daddy, you know?
Yeah, but we still don't like you. And I still get to go, hey, Gabe whooped your you-know-what.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So fair. I don't know. I just think it's easier to have a rivalry in hockey because of that situation.
Okay, so who do you hate more?
But for me, it's Minnesota.
Okay.
It's Minnesota. Timberwolves, Wild, Golden Gophers, they can all get it.
They can what?
All get it.
Mm.
I do not like.
I think there's a different phrase for that, but.
Oh, you do?
I
think I nailed that.
Forget what I'm saying.
Okay.
Ignore me.
I don't like Karl Anthony Towns. Even when I'll use Stokes line, when Goober was in Utah, couldn't stand him. I think he's pretty overrated. Anthony Edwards, I like, but he plays for Minnesota, so I can't really vibe with him there. And then Tim Conley, I'll throw Tim Conley in there. You know, leaving Denver to go to Minnesota and try to create a Joker stopper team, and then getting beat by that team in the first round.
Should we go behind the glass for the tiebreaker?
Yeah, I guess we should. Kevin, who do you hate more? Drew, who do you hate more? St. Louis or Minnesota?
You got hate in your heart. Let it out.
I mean, I was a Timberwolves fan growing up with Garnett, so I guess I got to hate St. Louis more.
Okay.
This is easy, guys.
Yeah, I know.
It's St. Louis. Jordan Binnington.
Yeah.
I've never liked the Blues. There's never been anything to like about the Blues.
They can
all.
Get it to use
yeah.
Josh's
yeah,
phrase.
Come on.
Way to go, Matt.
Plus, there's also, like, you know, me and Matt, Chicago ties.
Yeah.
Chicago, St. Louis don't get along well to begin with.
No.
So this is easy. It's St. Louis.
Yeah. It's St. Louis. Where's St. Louis? They're fine for a wild card.
They are actually.
Kind of.
Yeah, I mean, they're only 4 points behind Vegas right now for the last wild card spot.
Okay. I'd love to see them in the first round.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. Would you rather face St. Louis or would you rather face Vegas in the first round if Colorado ends up getting that number one seed in the Western Conference?
I'd love to face St. Louis and pump Binnington's tires in four games. That'd be great.
See, now I'm on board for that. Mm-hmm. But it's also, like, I could understand when both the Avs and Blues are good. Yeah, it's good. The Kadri, the Binnington stuff, that was a whole lot of fun, right? Throwing a water bottle at a dude, how intimidating. But right now, it's like Minnesota, Denver, and it matters.
Yes.
It matters a lot.
That's a bigger game. No, there's no argument. It's a bigger game. I mean, look at the two teams at the top of the standings. It is a much bigger game. However, I mean, does Minnesota scare you?
Healthy?
Timberwolves.
Yeah, when they're healthy?
Yes.
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't scare you at all?
I mean, I think they would give the Nuggets a good fight, and I think last year certainly it was a competitive opening round series, despite the fact that the Nuggets really should have swept them. They kind of gave the game away there in game, what was it, game three in Minnesota?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they lost in overtime.
Yeah.
But that was a good series, even though the Nuggets won in five. They don't really scare me, though.
Well, and if they had, who punched the wall? McDaniel, right? If they would have had their perimeter defender, that's a little bit different.
Okay.
He's available now.
They can get this work, too.
Okay.
Yeah, they can get this work, too.
Is that what you were trying to say?
Yeah, that's what you were trying to say.
No, I was trying to say what I said.
They can get it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they can get this work. It's probably, all right. We digress.
Agree to disagree. All right.
That's all we're doing today.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to do more of that coming up because I actually want to get a little bit more deeper into this quarterback conversation. Another one landed last night, but how different are all these guys that are finding homes than what Jared Stidham's going to be. We'll have that conversation next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.